Go to the Gospel of Luke this morning for our study, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. I want to read verse 1 through verse 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 1 through verse 10. Be reading from the New King James Version. That'll be text on the chart, unless otherwise indicated on the chart. I want to read this text. I'll make a few comments as we read through it, as we get to the subject of our study from this text. In Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He wasn't like Levi, who was just a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Now what that means is, he had other tax collectors under him. During this particular period of time, the Romans would, you might say, seek the lowest bidder in the collection of taxes. That is, an individual who would work for Rome and gather the taxes. But before they could do that, they themselves paid the tax. They paid the tax, then they would hire others to collect the taxes. And in the collection of those taxes, of course, they could add a little to it in order that they might be reimbursed for the taxes that they had paid, also make money in providing for their own living and livelihood. So he's a chief tax collector. He has many tax collectors under him. And he was rich. Of course he would be. Now, to the Jews in the first century, a tax collector was the lowest of sinners. Because not only had they sided with the Roman authority against the Jewish people, but they enriched themselves, charging more than was necessary. And that's how they became rich. Sometimes they simply defrauded. They cheated people, charging them more than they should have. And so he's a tax collector, a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. We're familiar with this account. The short man, Zacchaeus, couldn't see over the crowd of the people, but he wanted to see who Jesus was. Why? We're not told in the context. Was he aware of who Jesus was? That he was indeed the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, who was to bring salvation to the Jewish people? We're not told why he wanted to see who Jesus was, but Jesus already knew who he was, as we'll see in the context. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Think about that. Here he is, looked upon as the lowest of sinners by the Jewish people, but Jesus is going to stay at his house, already knows him by name. Jesus invites himself. He wants Zacchaeus to extend hospitality to him so he can stay at his house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. That is, received him into his home, extended hospitality to him, and he did it with gladness in his heart. He was happy to do it. I wonder why he obeyed Jesus, though. I wonder why. Is it because he perhaps knew who Jesus was? Again, we don't know. We're not told in the context. But he obeyed Jesus. He came down and he received him, extended hospitality to him. And he did that being glad to do it. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner." When they all saw it, when all the other Jewish people saw what Jesus had done, they complained, they murmured, because he had gone to be a guest in a sinner's house. Think about it. Here the other Jews are, they're self-righteous. They don't see themselves as sinners. They don't see themselves being in need of knowing who Jesus is. They see themselves as righteous people. But they see this chief tax collector and a rich man as a sinner. And Jesus is having a relationship or association or fellowship with him. Verse 8, Luke 19. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, by deception or fraud, I restore fourfold. I give them back four times as much as I've taken from them." Now, why is he saying this? Is it because of the conversation that Jesus has had with him? Is it because now he recognizes who Jesus is? I give half of my goods. Half of my possessions, half of the wealth that I have, I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to help those who are in need. And the other half of my possessions, I'm going to give back to those whom I've defrauded, whom I've cheated. Sounds to me like perhaps he has repented. Because he's restoring that, he's giving back in restitution to those whom he perhaps have taken from unlawfully. And Jesus said to him, "Today, not tomorrow, not in the future, not yesterday, but today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus was one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But today salvation has come to his house. Not only Jesus Christ, the Savior, has come to his house, but salvation has come to him. He is indeed a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The point under consideration is Zacchaeus was lost. He needed a Savior, and that Savior was the Lord Jesus Christ. But who is the lost? Some people do not know who the lost are. In this text, the Jews thought they were the saved, they were the justified. Zacchaeus was the only one lost. The word lost is a frightening word. Be walking through a crowded mall or on crowded streets and lose a child and panic breaks out. A boat is overturned in the ocean and panic breaks out because men are lost at sea. The word lost is a frightening word. It's translated different ways in the New Testament. The Greek word itself is used 92 times in the New Testament. But it's translated in various translations and in different ways. And it tells us how frightening the word really is. It's translated perish, destroy, lose, lost, die, ruined, wasted. In reference to one being lost, his soul is lost. He will go to his eternal ruin. He will go to his eternal destruction. He is ruined spiritually. He is in a lost state. He will die in his sins. People are lost in the world, and we need to save them. John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's our word. Should not perish. That is, go to their eternal ruin. Doesn't go out of existence, but they lose their eternal well-being. That's the idea in the word. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are lost, those who are dead spiritually. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." 2 Peter 3 and in verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish," not any, willing that any should be dead spiritually, go to the eternal ruin, "but that all should come to repentance." Matthew 10 and verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy, bring to ruin your eternal well-being, both your soul and your body in hell." People are lost in the world. We need to save them, because Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save the lost, but he's not no longer here. So who has that responsibility? We do. We do. Jesus has given us that responsibility in the giving of the Great Commission. If he came to seek and to save the lost and he's no longer here and he's turned that responsibility over us, it's left up to us to seek and to save the lost. And in order to do that, we need to be able to identify who the lost are. Remember in Zacchaeus' day, the people who complained and murmured that Jesus was going into the house of a sinner, Zacchaeus, those people did not see themselves as being lost. And so it is with most people today. Most people today are not saved. Most people today are lost because they don't see themselves as lost. Only the lost need a Savior, and only those who know they are lost will want a Savior. And the majority in the world today do not see themselves as lost, but people in the world are lost. People in the world are lost. They're going to their eternal ruin. They're dead spiritually. In the reading of our text this morning in Ephesians 2 and in verse 1 and following, the Apostle Paul said, "And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Ephesians had become Christians. They were once dead spiritually. That is, they were once lost, but now they've been found. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins," note this, "in which you once walked according to the course of this world." Why were they dead spiritually? Why were they lost spiritually? Because they walked, behaved, and conducted themselves according to the course of this world. That is, according to the ways of this world. The ways of the world are not according to God's ways. His ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. But people who live in the world and walk or behave themselves according to the ways or course of this world are lost, but they don't recognize it and realize it. Those who live in the world and are lost also conduct themselves and behave themselves according to the prince of the power of the air. That is, they conform themselves to Satan's desire, Satan's intention for them. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Disobedience is simply a lack of willingness to be persuaded. It's obstinance and rebellion toward the authority of God. It's unwillingness or refusal to comply with the demands of God. And whoever disobeys the Son of God will be lost and always lost as long as they disobey. John 3 and in verse 36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life." Know this, "but the wrath of God abides on him." New English Standard Version, "Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life." He'll remain lost. He'll remain spiritually dead. And in that state and in that condition, the wrath of God will come upon him. Ephesians 5 and in verse 6, Paul said, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." As long as you remain unwilling, stubborn, and rebellious in regard to the obedience of God, you will be lost, and you'll remain in that condition, and the wrath of God will come upon you. People in the world are in disobedience to God, and the wrath of God is going to come upon them. They live and conduct themselves and conform themselves to the ways of the world and to Satan. They do that because in Ephesians 2 and in verse 3, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Why do we conform ourselves to the world? Because the world is filled with gratifying the flesh. The lust, the desires, the longings and cravings, the inclinations of the flesh. That's what controls them. If Satan can get you to give in to the desires and inclinations of the flesh, he has you. You're living your life according to his will. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, note that, dead in trespasses, spiritually dead, those who live after the ways of the world, being controlled by the desires and inclinations of their flesh, being controlled by the desires of Satan, are dead. To be dead spiritually is to be separated from God by one's sins, by one's disobedience. You're without any hope of salvation. You're lost, dead spiritually. Ephesians 2 and in verse 11 and following, Paul said, "Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ." You were without Christ. The word without means separated from Christ. You were separated from Christ. Note this, being separated from Christ, there is no hope. You're without God in the world. There is no hope separated from Christ. There is no hope separated from God by one's disobedience. One is simply lost in the world. He's dead spiritually. People in the world are lost, and they don't recognize and realize it. Oh, they think they're right in the sight of God. Many of them, being religiously minded people, think they're saved, but yet they're lost. Amen. Who are the lost whom we should be seeking and saving? People in religious error. People in religious error. In Acts 2 and in verse 5, on the day of Pentecost, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Devout men, meaning religiously minded men. Pious men. Men who had reverence and respect for God. But yet they were lost. How do we know they were lost? Because later they obeyed the gospel and were saved. Acts 2 and verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for in order to the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of salvation is to you and to your children and all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying," note this, "be saved from this perverse generation." Why? Because they were lost and in need of salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Though they were devout, religiously minded people, pious, they were lost, and so are many people in the world today. Religious people who are lost. Acts 8 and in verse 26. We have another individual who was lost and in need of salvation. "Now as an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert.' So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship." Here we have a worshiping man. Everybody today who worships do not see themselves as lost. They see themselves as saved. They do not see themselves as spiritually dead. But we have a man here who had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He had traveled hundreds of miles. Shows his dedication and devotion to God. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was returning and sitting in his chariot. Note this, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. He was reading the Bible, we might say. Many people today at home and in places of worship read their Bibles and they think they're saved. They're religiously minded people, but they're lost. "Just as this man." And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and to sit with him. The place in the scripture which he was reading was this. This is from Isaiah 53. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered and said to Philip, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Why? Because this man was lost and in need of a Savior. Though he was a worshiper, though he was a reader of scripture, he was lost. He was spiritually dead and in need of a Savior, and that's why Philip preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded his chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he baptized him. He obeyed the gospel. He was in need of a Savior. He was in need of salvation. He was a religious man, but he was lost, even though he was religious. We see the same thing in the individual called Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. Verse 2, he is said to be a devout man, pious, religiously minded man, one who feared God, one who had reverence and respect for God. Not only he himself, but evidently he had brought up his own household, his own family, to have reverence and respect for God as well. He gave alms generously to the people. That is, he was a very charitable person for those who were in need. And he prayed to God always. There's many people in the world who do these things. They do not see themselves as lost, but they're lost. Because Cornelius was lost. He needed to hear words by which he and all of his household could be saved. Acts 11 and verse 13. Peter said, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." Cornelius wasn't saved. He was lost. He needed a Savior. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ. He obeyed, having believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was baptized for in order to the remission of sins that he might be saved. Again, people in religious era need to be saved because they're lost. We seek and to save those who are lost. That's why Jesus came to this earth. Those who are in religious era, they're not like us. They're lost. Have we adopted the attitude of the people in Zacchaeus' day? They saw themselves as righteous. Zacchaeus was the sinner. No. We don't see ourselves as self-righteous. We simply see ourselves as those who've obeyed the gospel. Those who once were lost, those who once were spiritually dead, but now we're alive in Christ Jesus, just as the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2. In Galatians 1 and verse 14, Paul said, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries." Judaism is simply the religion of the Jews, according to the law of Moses. But Paul was lost in that religion, just as people are lost in Buddhism today, or some other ism. Acts 23 and in verse 1, Paul, looking earnestly at the council, at the Sanhedrin council, said, "Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Paul, before he became a Christian, was lost. Though he worshipped according to Judaism, he worshipped according to God's word, he was still lost. He was a religious man, but lost in Judaism. And he did everything to keep his conscience right and good before God. But note what he says about himself. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." If he could line up all the sinners, Paul said, "I'm number one. I'm at the head of the line." If he could rank sinners from the worst to the least, Paul says, "I'm the worst of all sinners." He saw himself as a sinner, one in religious era that needed to be saved. But note this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Saul of Tarsus needed a Savior. That Savior was Jesus Christ. Man needs a Savior today. They need to become obedient to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Many people, though they are religious, are going to be eternally lost simply because they do not see themselves as lost. A lot of that has to do with the preaching that takes place to those people today. They're told that, well, you're not lost, you're saved by faith only. Not true, not true. Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? These people seem to be religious, but they were not doers of God's word. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you who practice iniquity, the King James Version says. The word means conducting themselves and behaving themselves as if the law of God does not exist. They're lawless people. They behave themselves lawlessly. A total disregard for God's law. The basic problem is they simply do not obey Christ. And so religiously minded people are lost because they do not obey Christ. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Though he, Jesus Christ, was a son, yet he learned, that is, he experienced obedience by the things which he suffered. That's right, when he suffered, he experienced what true obedience is. When you suffer for the cause of Christ, it's because you have obeyed Christ. And having been perfected, having become fully qualified as our sacrifice for sin, he became the author of eternal salvation to who? To those who just have faith only in him? No, to those who obey him. He is the author. He is the origin or source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Some in the religious world are lost because they're just told to pray for salvation. Just pray for salvation and you'll be saved. Some churches even have what they call a mourner's bench. They come forward and they pray and they pray and they pray until salvation comes. But that prayer does not save them, just as it did not save Saul of Tarsus. He had been praying for 3 days, but he was told to arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He had to obey. He had to put Christ on in baptism. Who are the lost? People in the world. People who live, conduct themselves, and behave themselves according to the ways of the world. Because they're like all others of the world, they give in to the desires, inclinations of the flesh. They conform themselves, you might say, to the desires of their father, the devil. Who are the lost? The religious of the world, who are in religious error and don't know it. They're lost. But who are the lost? We need to know. It's our task to save the lost. Seeking to save the lost. Who are the lost? People in the church. People in the church. I'm talking about the unfaithful members of the Lord's church. There is such a thing. Some are lost. They were once saved, but now they're lost because they haven't remained faithful. They've fallen away from the Lord. Just as Paul warned in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest we fall. Don't think because you have been saved, because you're now spiritually alive, that you can't be lost. You can. You'll go to your eternal ruin in that condition if you don't change. People in the church, unfaithful members of the Lord's church, come the day of judgment, some are going to be lost. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10 and verse 26, note this, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, if we sin willfully, that is, if we willfully sin after we've received the knowledge of the truth, what does it mean to receive the knowledge of truth? It means to believe the truth and obey the truth. It means to believe the gospel and obey the gospel. If we sin willfully or voluntarily after we have believed and obeyed the gospel, note this, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Why? Because the sacrifice for sin has already been made. One time for all time. Christ is not going to come again and give his life as a sacrifice for your sin. That sacrifice has already been made. So if you've come to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you've responded in baptism for the remission of your sins, and you fall away, don't seek another sacrifice, because there's not going to be another. The only thing that waits for you is a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who's trampled the Son of God underfoot? Counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. You trample the Son of God underfoot. You've counted him as and showed your contempt and disgust for him, trampling him under your foot. Counted the blood of the covenant. Remember when he instituted the Lord's Supper? This is my blood shed for, in order to, the remission of sins. It was the blood of the new covenant. Do you count that blood that sanctifies you, sets you apart, consecrates you, cleanses you of your sin? Do you count it as something common? No value in it? You've insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There are those who are lost in the church. People are lost in the church. People think, as long as I attend worship, as long as I give on the first day of the week, contribute into the Lord's treasury, partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm okay. No, if you're unfaithful to the Lord, you're lost. James 5 and in verse 19, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, errs from the truth, and someone turns him back," why does he need to be turned back? Because he's turned away from the Lord. He's fallen away from the Lord. He needs to be brought back. He needs to be rescued. He needs to be delivered from his sins. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death, spiritual death, and cover a multitude of sin. The soul who has wandered away goes to his spiritual death. If he doesn't come back, that's what's going to happen. The lost Christian, the unfaithful child of God, needs to confess his sins. He needs to acknowledge his sins. He needs to recognize and realize that he can be lost and not in a saved relationship. 1 John 1 and verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess or acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his truth is, or his word is not in us." Amen. The child of God who is unfaithful needs to acknowledge his sin. Might need to acknowledge or confess them publicly if it's a sin that is of public knowledge. But acknowledging one's sins, confessing one's sins, is not enough. You might need to make restitution like Zacchaeus. You need to repent of your sins. As Simon the sorcerer was told by Peter in Acts 8 in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." Acknowledge your sin, confess your sin, pray to God that he will forgive you of it. Having turned from that sin in repentance, that's what the unfaithful child of God needs to do. So who are the lost? The people of the world who live according to the ways of the world. Religiously minded people, even people in the church, are lost. The Lord is seeking those who are lost. That's what he's doing. He seeks to save those who are lost. He's not willing that any should perish, remember, but that all should come to repentance. Well, how does the Lord seek and to save the lost? He uses you and he uses me. Matthew 28 in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus seeks to save that which is lost. That needs to be our mission. Seeking to save those who are lost. We know who the lost are. Those in the world. Those in religious area and unfaithful members of the church. Let's be busy about seeking and saving the lost. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning and you're lost, spiritually dead, separated from Christ, you have no hope. No hope without Christ and without God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Him before this audience. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, you know what you need to do. Get right before it's too late. If you're subject to the invitation, please come as we sing the song selected.